This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
Brought to you by Canada Post. Head to canadapost.ca/insightpodcast for ideas to add value to your marketing.
As we get going into our show, I want to talk about SEO quickly. This whole search engine optimization thing. People are frustrated by it, confused by it, and probably not really getting the straight goods about how it works. Back when we outsource our SEO, we're often confused when we get the reports back. It seemed like a dark art. They were rubbing some sort of oil on our websites and supposedly magic was happening. When we started using Ahrefs, it was a game changer. The reports we got, the clarity on site ranking for terms, and really, the transparency and understanding between off-site and on-site SEO was really helpful. Today, for all of our clients, we provide Ahrefs reporting and use the tool to audit sites. It's the premier SEO tool, and you can have the confidence you're getting the top quality tool that provides incredible support and resources to help you with your SEO for your brand or the clients you work with. Check out ahrefs.com today. Hey everyone, welcome to another week of Marketing Jam. I am so excited because we have a special guest who has been published in Canada Post Insight magazine, which if you have not subscribed yet, it is your incredible dose of print, textured, smelling action that comes delivered to your house or your office or wherever you live. And it is full of insights, no pun intended, data, articles, information, ideas, and really, really cool case studies. I will admit I go to the case studies first because I find them fascinating. But without further ado, Bilal, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Derek.
Tell us about the article you wrote for Insight and what it was all about.
Yes, as we know, marketing domain itself has gone through a bit of a transition, right? I mean, we have gone from very traditional ways of engaging our audiences, engaging our prospects and customers, to then, you know, scaling through technology, leveraging, you know, whatever data that we could get to try to optimize our ability to reach the right audience and, activate the right audience and ultimately build some kind of relationship. With the advent of, you know, always on platforms, advancements in marketing tech and cloud data platforms, we are now coming to a point where marketers can truly deliver experiences like the Spotify's and the Netflix's of the world. And the article that we have written right now, I wrote was very much about personalization and what is the role of data within our world. And how do you start on an initiative like that? How do you organize yourself from a data strategy perspective, data modeling side of things? And then, you know, what kind of architecture is necessary to deliver on that? And then ultimately get to a point where your models are so optimized that your segmentation is actually addressing an audience of one.
Wow. And not just talking about Tom Cruise's Minority Report, the machines that scan the eyes. And have you remember that scene? And it popped up those ads that were specific for Tom in that movie.
If anything, the notion that I talk about in the Insight magazine right here,
yes,
is very much about moving away from the push and actually designing experiences that drive interest and pull people in. And that means we need to annoy them less. We need to be a little bit more personalized in knowing them so that we can think about, you know, what is the right moment for us to actually have the right pitch? Or perhaps it is the right moment not to sell anything, but rather just nurture the relationship, serve them better. And that's primarily where we're coming from, right? And when it comes to the notion of leveraging customer data, you know, the stand that I've taken is that we have to be very specific about what we want. And then based on that, figure out what attributes do I want about the customer? Mm-hmm. And then map out where does that come from? Too much data is useless for us. Too much data, you know, that is being captured in less than ethical manner can also cause issues later on. We're also as consumers living in this always on kind of a world are more sensitive to our information, privacy issues associated with it. It's been abused. And that's why anyone, you know, going on this journey now should be thinking through, like, you know, what is the right balance?
So if I were to throw an idea at you, being useful to people. So let's say there's a water park, right? And it's a really sunny day, and someone who lives half an hour from the water park gets an Instagram ad or Facebook ad that says, hey, it's only a 30-minute drive and it's sunny today, because the ad pulls data from the weather and from what city they're in, because you tell Facebook what city you're in. And if someone who's like an hour away, it says, hey, it's sunny today, it's only an hour drive, it's worth it, here's a Spotify playlist link that you can listen to while you drive there with your kids. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes. And perhaps we can go even deeper, right? Knowing that, you know, the mobile device has access to your calendar. And in the calendar, you may have an appointment. You may have an appointment for a stopover in between that can be scheduled in, right? That's personal. We may also want to look at how many times that message had been sent over to you in the past and had no inaction. So maybe perhaps I shouldn't be, you know, taking you to a store and trying to pitch you, the new pop that's out in market. Or it could be as simple as just helping you, you know, knowing that if you're with your kids, helping you with some entertainment options that can be enabled within a pretty, you know, what we're seeing is emerging out of luxury segment, for instance, where entertainment options are already built in within cars, right? Mm-hmm. Your device is part of an ecosystem that is serving you an ability to personalize that experience. And marketers need to understand that so that it's not just their message, but also the context of where your customer is at, what are they going through, what does their life look like, and then ultimately get to a point where they become an easy insertion into their life and almost like a lifestyle integration.
I mean, I imagine like a massage studio or like a nutritionist who says, hey, I can't massage you over the phone and I can't give you some nutritional food, but here's a relaxing playlist to lower your stress levels today to stay healthy.
100%.
And then they become that friend, right? That helpful person.
And you know what this just reminded me of? I'm a huge fan of it now, and this is not a sponsored post, but the Garmin straps now are superbly smart about their KPI called body battery. Okay. The body battery is looking at your heart rate, your activity for the day, you know, how many times have you moved. It's looking at how, you know, well you slept, and it's kind of calculating, you know, what your energy levels are like. And when your energy levels are low, it actually recommends taking a break. It actually looks at the stress rate, and it also kind of triggers you to basically, as soon as it detects an anomaly, it tells you to take a break.
Does it text you that, or how does it tell you?
It actually notifies, like, hey, you feel like you're stressed. You know, take a breather. Maybe you can do some exercises.
Wow.
That is, like, this is all built in a device less than $179, right?
What?
So this is what intrigues me, because if you think about it, this is all valuable data that they're capturing. And obviously they have not abused it. They have not sold it to anyone else.
Yeah.
And with the privacy laws and what's coming up next, we're not going to have that situation where, you know, you can just grab data from anywhere, especially in Canada.
Yes.
But if I said, hey, you know, use my Garmin data to help me with my planning of the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if you're feeling energetic, you know, throw in or organize a meeting or two that I can actually be part of. If I'm not energetic, if I'm not, feeling really well, perhaps the optional meetings that are on my calendar can be moved away.
Wow. Right?
That is optional personalization, right?
But I'd want, like, I use a tool called, Under Armour has this incredible tool called Made Fitness Pal, and I love it. And I love it because it's not about, like a restrictive diet, it's more about a balanced eating lifestyle. But I always think, I'm like Under Armour, sell this data to like HelloFresh or Chef's Plate or a local grocery store or Skip the Dishes and says, hey, we noticed you haven't had lunch yet, or you haven't registered your lunch, or you're really low on fiber, right? You got a low fiber intake for the day. Here's a suggested dinner, pre-order it now. Like I would do that. Like
100%.
I'm a sitting duck that wants that help.
And that's exactly it, right? For me too. Like I would actually prefer something like that because it's integrated with my life versus pushing messages when I don't want it. I used to give an example in the early days when I was doing social media, right? Was that, hey guys, you know, when social is a conversation and advertisers, you guys need to be a little bit more sensitive about the fact that if I'm having a conversation with Darian, please don't throw an ad for Tide because it's irrelevant. I don't want it. I will not buy it. But, you know, and it's a waste of an impression.
No, it totally is. Like, my wife and I will we don't have like traditional cable TV anymore, so we use the apps, and we're trying to watch Amazing Race. And it's so frustrating because it's the same ad. This is the worst part. Because they don't sell many ads, I guess, they run the same ads all the time. And sometimes two, 3 times in a row on these commercial breaks. And, you know, we're watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine and we're having to hear an ad for, you know, I love them, BCIT, but they're doing the same ad. So it just becomes my thoughts towards BCIT are more annoyed. And I'm like, you are an interruption to a pleasurable evening. And but it wasn't even done well. Like there's this beautiful A&W ad I saw a while back where it was the A&W guy. And he was like, hey, just want to let you know we got a new burger. And hey, here's some puppies. Sorry for interrupting your video. And I was like, yes, you did interrupt my video, but you showed me some puppies. And he goes, stay and watch these or just go ahead and hit skip and watch your video. And I was like, that was genius. Instead of like the whatever Shaw experience on or, you know, CTV experience that was just like hitting me on the head time and time again.
Because someone said it takes 12 impressions for me to change Darian's mind. So I need to do them right away.
No, but it's like, it's almost like dating, right? It's like, so if you woo that woman or woo that man or whatever, you just keep going and be like, hey, how about now? You want to date now? How about now? How about now? Versus like, send me flowers over time or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. That's what the article was all about. I mean, and, you know, ultimately it's talking about something that I've been focused on a lot these days as, you know, we go through this age of personalization. Yes. First, it starts with education of the fact that personalization doesn't mean your offers get tailored. Sure, that is like one of the, you know, the use cases, but truly, I mean, we just talked about it, right? When it's something personal, it has to become personal to me, not to you, not for your targeting capabilities, but rather to me as a consumer, it needs to be part of my context. And it does mean that, you know, as consumers, and I think we've all come to this point where we do want our data to be used for our purposes, but as long as we're informed about it, as long as we've been advised and we opt into it. And I think a lot of the marketers are kind of trying to figure out how do they navigate that in their worlds. And it's not easy, right? It's very hard to be thinking about what specific needs you have today, which will also be relevant for tomorrow, and then mapping out your strategy according to it, versus just saying, hey, I want it all. Because it's easier for me, right? And I'll figure it out. But that part also makes it so hard for you to actually do something with it when it's your time to actually leverage the data to inform your strategy and inform your design, inform your execution.
Yeah, or advertisers who are going the easier route, the path of least resistance, the easier method, who's just, let's just run an ad campaign to all of the area around this water park versus taking into consideration weather and distance from the park.
And you know what? Disney does a good job at it, right? With their bands and like, you know, their ecosystem of sensors that enable within the park to kind of figure out where you are. And I'm sure, like we just talked about this use case, maybe they're incorporated, you know, some elements of that in there now, given the pause where they're thinking through like how you're feeling, right? And if the whole notion behind the Disney band was the fact that, you know, it is a real-time sensor that is placing, I mean, that is helping Disney figure out where you are, what you've been up to, and so that their team members can help serve you better in a more personal manner, right? Imagine knowing how you're feeling, how tired you are, how you are.
How so stressful it is going early so you can get in line for the new ride, Star Wars ride, because it was a first come basis.
That's exactly it.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. I went to Disneyland as a kid, and then going as an adult with my kid, I remember looking around at like 8:30 in the morning and all these stressed out people who are on their phones trying to register on that ride. And then people yelling, you know, in relief and excited about the number and the queue that they got. But it was such a wildly stressful, fascinating kind of ecosystem that they created for this thrill of the ride. Right.
Right.
So, okay. I got to ask the big question. A lot of people are going to see your name, your bio, the company you're with, which is typically known, Deloitte, as an accounting firm. So why do accounting firms care about marketing? And what relevancy does an accounting firm have in marketing?
You probably read the article where, like, you know, Deloitte's new building in Toronto was, you know, was in place, we kind of brought in five different offices together. And there was an article, I think, in National Post or so, where they said, accounting firm is here. And everyone in consulting services that is not an accountant was just shocked that, hey, we like people still think of us as an accounting firm. And yes, you know, 40% of our business is in accounting and audit and, you know, traditional finance services. The rest is focused on basically solving for the really complex issues for front office applications. Yeah. When I say front office, anything customer facing, back office, how do you organize yourself, you know, across the different functions within a business. And then there is a notion of customer marketing. And it required capability, again, you know, based on market need, based on what our clients were looking for, was basically a service that brings the best thinkers, the best doers, the best technologists, the best data analytics folks, data engineers, data scientists, and then the practitioners who are making it all work into one organization so that we can solve for when someone's having an issue with sales dropping or when someone's having an issue with customer sentiment. Those and, you know, and or they're pressed to scale their market and or they're trying to figure out how do we market for today's world. When I have seven different business units and I've got 5,000 people, right? So how do you organ, how do you design that operating model? How do you get that so that Bilal Nigerian can get the right personalization, you know, messages from the brand versus someone working in silo, trying to do everything by themselves. So Deloitte is actually specialized in like, you know, in services that, focus on customer experience, you know, data analytics, you know, and implementation of technology and advisory services all around it. We're ranked the highest actually by the different analysts in regards to bringing it together from a vision perspective, but also execution.
Hey, are you having trouble tracking inbound phone calls from your website or ads? CallRail gives you the call tracking you need to measure the success of your marketing efforts in real time. Discover how many calls you received from your Google ads, organic searches, social media efforts, and so much more. But that's not the only reason we use CallRail. CallRail seamlessly integrates your call and conversion data with over 700 marketing tools and platforms, including Google Analytics and Salesforce, to fuel deeper insights automatically. Start your free trial today with CallRail.
Have you seen that movie with Don Cheadle? Or it's not a movie, sorry, TV series with Don Cheadle and the girl from, she's in Frozen, but she's a real person. She's married to Dax Shepard. I should know her name, but I don't remember right now. But they did a whole TV series on a consulting firm and what it was like. I think it was called Lie to Me.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
Yes. And that was my impression when I joined Deloitte because I was the first marketer at Deloitte in Canada.
Okay, wow.
So that was my impression. I was the first one, man. So I came in, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And I was coming from Silicon Valley at that time. So I was in a totally different mode. And then I realized, you know, what was happening, right? From a clientele perspective, from market evolving nature of consultancies in general. And then we kind of mapped out different ways. And so I kid you not, that was my impression, but it's totally not that.
Okay. That's like what I said. Okay, so I've seen, and I've also learned recently, like, so there's people who get hired to be SEO consultants, but they don't do any of the work. They'll give the ideas, and then the people in-house then do it. Is that kind of like the idea of a consultant? You give the ideas, the roadmap, the strategy, and then people execute it in-house? Is that part of what you do, or is it more you're there along the way holding hands?
It's a blend, right? So like, you know, that when we're addressing, like, the CMOs, a lot of them are thinking about the fact, and I used to be one back in the days myself. Yeah. So kind of like, you know, there is desire to build in-house capability. So you're not relying on third parties all the time for advice and execution, right? So a lot of our work is focused on building out internal capability. Sometimes that means you will consult and advise on the right way of doing it. But other times, and I have clients who basically have decided, no, we don't want any of that in-house. Okay. I want you to map it out. Yeah. You know, my business goals, you know, map out a strategy against that and then execute for me. Wow. And so that I can focus on other things that I need to do.
Amazing.
So it's a blended model. Again, the large size of organization allows us to kind of tailor it to whatever the client desires.
So as someone maybe who's in marketing right now, or kind of growing up in the marketing world, they can always go, you know, they can go agency side, they can go brand side, and this third option, consulting side. How would you describe the difference between these three worlds to someone who's maybe thinking about going from one area to another, or maybe is currently looking for work and is maybe never considered going into consulting?
Good question. I think it's very hybrid now, right? It's blended throughout. Mm-hmm. You've got industries or brand side, and I started my career in that, right? Yeah. They become, you know, they've established their own little agencies and consultancies, right? Where, you know, it's a central hub trying to sort out for, you know, and connect the dots between all the different business units, right? Mm-hmm. That are in their organization. You got agencies that are trying to be like consultancies, yeah, trying to move upon, like, you know, paying attention to more than just paid, moving, extending, mm-hmm, earned and owned, focusing on the technology implementation side, mm-hmm, of things, focusing on the advisor and consultancy around it, how to use that tool moving forward kind of a deal. And then you got consultancies who have always focused on the big picture strategy, mm-hmm, design, large scale complex technology implementations, who are saying, okay, we need to go in and we need to solve for the business issues around the customer, yeah, and solve for what is keeping like a modern CMO up at night now, right? Yeah. Because a lot of them is P&L responsibility. When, yeah, I started, you know, marketing was a very different kind of function, yeah, than what it is 20 years later, right?
Wow. Switching gears here, apps that you love, life hacks, kind of resources that you'd recommend to other folks in this this world.
So, and I think for me personally, these, yeah, days, like Garmin, just, yeah, because of, yeah, everything, I mean, like focused on and just paying attention to like, is it accurate? Oh my God, it is accurate. Yeah. And I think a lot of us are running and doing, yeah, some biking, cycling. Yeah. So there's an app called, and I'm going to check it out, which is very interesting, where you go, when you go for a run, Relive.
Okay, nice.
I don't know if it's going to show or not, but it's tracking and sharing your activities in a very immersive manner. So it actually, yeah, produces a bit of video after your run and kind of like, you know, has a whole, like a drone like footage of where you've been, and it's pretty cool. It's free. Yeah. Check it out. Okay. That's my latest action at the moment. Yeah. Other than that, I've been the COVID hobbies. Yeah. I've tapped into the inner nerd that has always, yeah, been there.
Yeah.
And I'm into mechanical keyboards these days.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. That's very cool. And then what about books or podcasts that you recommend to kind of stimulate the brain and kind of get someone thinking more about data and marketing?
Data and marketing. I think the best thing that I've been paying attention to is this, basically, actually, funny enough, I've because I spent so much of my time in data and marketing, right? My own personal focus has been away more on the spiritual and like more leadership psychology, yeah, kind of, yeah, deal. And I've been listening to this Voice of the Leadership podcast.
So what are some ones that you'd recommend that are good?
There's a Voice of Leadership. That's the podcast itself.
Okay, cool.
And something that just intrigued me just a couple of days ago, actually, was something that Tim Ferriss recently came out with, which was more about what he's gone through and why he spent majority of his life focusing on controlling the body and mind. Mm-hmm. But then it's going to the deeper issues of, like, you know, safety and self-expression. Yeah. And I'm noticing that it's coming up and emerging as more of a theme these days because of COVID, right? People, yeah, are really focusing on the inner peace and what, yeah, we're the purpose and why are we here?
Yeah. Oprah's Soul Sundays had a big spike of subscribers. And was it Lewis Howes? I just discovered, because Zach King, one of my favorite YouTubers, now, of course, TikToker, etc., original Viner, the magician, was on the show. And so I listened to the interview, and then I saw he had like Rob Bell on and a bunch of other really interesting folks who talk about spirituality and inner peace and finding that meaning in life. So it was, again, I love discovering new shows and finding what people are listening to.
Exactly. And then that's that's what we're noticing, right? So at a macro level, there's been a lot of conversation that I'm looking at from Silicon Valley VCs expressing that they're losing CEOs because CEOs are saying, I want to do things that are more purposeful. Give me the complex. Give me the hard problems now because I don't know how many years I have left.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, and going back to your question, that's if you're interested in solving really hardcore complex problems, that's where consultancies shine because that's the only business they get, right? They get the stuff that is not easy.
Yeah.
Because I mean, think about it, right? You need, if it's a complex issue, that is when you need your advice and consultation, right?
Outside voice, outside perspective, outside voice.
Like, you know, kind of reason with and understand, you know, what the third party, not, you know, objective view would be. So going back to it, I think if those are the problems there, you know, that intrigue you, that's ultimately what I'm seeing is trending at the moment.
Wow. That's really fascinating. And as far as kind of like trends that you're watching that you're really amazed by or brands that you're watching, you're like, man, you got to watch this brand or you got to follow this trend. Who would you recommend or what would you recommend?
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to be biased towards any brand that is really going beyond just having an e-commerce store because everyone is just thinking, hey, I'm going to have an Amazon like experience. And guess what? Like I'm it. Right.
Yeah.
I'm paying attention to this firm called Kognitiv. It's a scale up coming out of Toronto. They're really thinking through like what is the future of loyalty?
Yeah.
Right. Because what everyone is saying is that when everything looks and feels the same, right? If everyone's got an amazing shopping cart experience because everything is digital first, got it. You know, maybe you have figured out your delivery and supply chain issues as well. So you're very much like Amazon. So you're on par. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Now, every mom and pop shop is leveraging Shopify experience, using the supply chain network to kind of, you know, optimize how, you know, they manage the inventory and get it out to the customer. Then what? If Darian and Bilal have so many options, how do you get them to keep coming back? Because you can't be fighting on price all the time because Amazon and Walmart's the world will always have you beat or matched, right?
Yeah. It's the stars, man. I want more Starbucks stars.
Bingo. It's the loyalty thing. And what they're saying is that let's think about what is loyalty. Me and you both know that loyalty is a result of a lot of things going in the right direction. Right. It's not the points. It's not points for like discounts. And so that's where like, how do you become loyal when, you know, when it's not about the points and, and it's not about, like, you know, just teaching a customer and a consumer that you only come to me when I have a discount code for you or an offer for you, because that's not going to be profitable in the long term. So what this startup is working on is basically a notion of using what they call zero party data. Very permission based, very outcome and value driven way of basically saying, Bilal, you know, you've been feeling this way. We recommend, you know, because you're a member here, we recommend check out this and that. And guess what? Because of your prior interactions and your history, you know, we can personalize that package for you and almost get you in a way where, you know, it's delightful for you. So you can actually take your kids and your family at a discounted rate. But the notion never discount. What they're doing instead is that they're working with the ecosystem that they brought together to kind of serve Bilal in that package together. Not, so there's no discount, but it's just a personal package only for Bilal. It's very interesting to me at the moment. And it's a strong team. So that's kind of like what I've been paying attention to a lot.
I saw a Skip the Dishes order yesterday. A friend posted where they had just gotten a color printer. I asked her if they had a color printer because she followed up on this. And they put her name and said, hey, Elena, thanks for ordering from us. And it was on the package that arrived at her house, her name. And I was like, that is genius.
And this reminded me of the cookie that you gave me a couple of years ago when I spoke at your conference.
I had to give you a cookie.
I remember it because I still have it. I didn't need it.
Because tell the audience what it was. What was on that cookie?
It was my face, right? It was my face with... Yeah, I don't even know how you did it, because I can tell you that it was the icing that was shaped like my face on the cookie. So like, yeah, that's personalization. There you go, Darian. You've been at the forefront of it years before.
So funny. So one thing I think loyalty wise, like I have there's a winery in Kelowna, which is about a 2-3 hour drive from Vancouver area here, called Mission Hill. And you can join the club. And really, I learned, like, the club appeared to be this huge thing to hurdle, and it was this big exclusive thing. But really, they just said, just order a certain amount of wine each year, and you can be in this club, which gives you access to the special room and special events. And, like, but really, nothing was really discounted. There was, like, free shipping, but then there's always ways to get free shipping from them. But it was, like, this experience to know that whenever I'm up in Kelowna, I can experience this thing, this kind of, like, other world. Yeah. Right behind the curtain, or kind of in the Narnia closet, right? There's this closet I can go to.
And ultimately, that's where we're going towards, right? The way, it energizes the consumer, right? Yeah. It's not annoying. It's not letting me feel like negative about you. I'm not putting ad blockers so that I can avoid seeing your message. In fact, I want to be pulled in. I want to go there.
Yeah.
You just talked about it. I could see the smile on your face.
Yeah.
Your energy, right? When does that happen? About against an ad that you saw on your streaming service?
Well, like Skip the Dish has just released it 2 weeks ago, just released a loyal, like you can earn stars now and you can earn rewards if you order enough from Skip. But a part of me is like, I'm not motivated, because I guess maybe they're trying to say you skip over Uber Eats or Uber, the other competitors. But then the flip side is they're also, the other ones are trying to say, buy this membership and we'll make your delivery super discounted. So they're all trying different methods I'm watching to be like, be loyal to us. But then there's a restaurant group here as well that, again, took the Starbucks app and made a copy of it, essentially, like a very emulated it. And I love it because, again, I never get any discounts, but it's just more when you hit certain levels, right? You get like a free drink, and I get a free drink on my birthday, and I get like a little, little perks. And it's just kind of fun. It's kind of the gamification of it too. I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat somewhere for dinner anyways. I'm going to order lunch somewhere. What if I go there? Because then I can try to see if I can get up to that next level.
Right? And that's what it is, right? What we call it. This is the nudge theory, right? Like nudge you into the behavior that is natural to you and also mutually beneficial, right? I don't need to push you into something that is against, your core essence and you don't want it, right? And this is the art and science of what I focus a lot on, because it's not just data, it's also the human behavior.
It's almost like, I call it almost like the brass ring effect. Like I want to get that. Like I want to see if I can get it. Like I don't need it, but it's just more the fun of, can I reach the brass ring?
Exactly. And then there's an experience element to it.
Yeah. And those that don't know what the brass ring is, back in the day, there would be merry-go-rounds with little horses on it. And if you could reach the brass ring, you get a free ride. You get to go again for a second round.
Yeah. It's awesome. So this, I mean, and that's one of the elements, right? In design of a new loyalty generating program, right? Because a lot of them were focused on frequency for discount. Yeah. Didn't matter what you bought. If you came in five times, five pops, here you go, you get your $5 back. Or you could be buying five laptops or five iPads.
Well, that's the old Navy method, right? Like the cash back, right? They're always giving those little slips of cash and they're always trying to get you to come back. And so wait, tell me, how do people get a hold of you? How do they find you, follow you, learn more from you?
I'm on Twitter, Bilal Jaffrey, LinkedIn. I was on Facebook a lot, but not anymore. Otherwise, it's fb.com/Bilal Jaffrey. Twitter is the best, and LinkedIn.
It's amazing. Thank you so much for coming
on the
show.
It's a pleasure. It's been fun.
All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Marketing Jam. We'll see you next week on The Jam.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.